every day is Saturday at Casinos USA. Hi, everybody. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our 176th podcast. And we began way back in 2016, that September. Oh, so long ago. And we are returning from a 15-day stay in Las Vegas. And how do we talk about all the things that we accomplished and we enjoyed and all the fun that we had in one podcast? We can't. So we're going to divide them possibly over three. And every one of them will have something for all of us. Believe me. But we started this thing about going to Vegas for 15 days. We called it the Vegas Challenge. And we said that we were going to gamble every day. However, if we lost $100, we would stop gambling. If we won, we'd keep gambling as long as we wanted to. And that's exactly what happened. And over the 15 days, we won 14 of those days. Man, and we came home with close to $1,000 ahead. Come on, how'd we do it? Don't you want to know? Yeah, we will talk about it because we played slots. We played craps. And we played video poker. And Janie even hit it big on Frankenstein at the airport. Oh, come on. But I want to start this podcast today by taking you to the final day where we were waiting for a delayed flight in Harry Reid International Airport. Yeah, well, it used to be called McCarran. You could call it the Vegas Airport, whatever you like, but you know where it is. And we were waiting for a Southwest flight. And so Janie said, hey, I'm going to go play Frankenstein. I didn't play it when we were out here. I saw it. And, you know, and it's one of those big commercial ones. You think, oh, don't play at the airport. And for goodness sakes, don't play Frankenstein. But she was out of my sight. And so I was involved with another project because I came across a name, an organization, and I have to share it with you. Thinking about what did I accomplish in my life and what did you accomplish in your life? Well, I was in a conversation with a man who, in relationship to all the organizations he worked with, saved over 10,000 lives of dogs. Dogs that were in a kill center. Dogs that were rescued from a kill center. And he got so good at it, he enjoyed it so much, he started his own organization. And the organization is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Nobody gets paid. It's all volunteer. And they have already saved, in a very short time, 1,200 dogs from a certain death and placed those dogs with loving homes. And I was just enthralled by reading about this man, and I have going to talk to him in our podcast. I interviewed him. But his name is Eric Pollock, and he is an expert in dog care. He's not a veterinarian, but he probably could be one. And of course, we were without a dog. We lost our beloved Oliver. We had him for almost 16 years. I think 16 years come July 1st. And we just couldn't take it. We mourned. I mean, we cried. We mourned and cried. And I'll tell you something. Our house seemed empty. And so I said, you know, I want to get another dog. And you know, Janie said, well, we'll never find another Oliver. And I said, it's not my intention to find another Oliver. So at first I was talking about a Rottweiler because I had a Rottie once, and I'm not afraid of them. And they're misconstrued, to put it one way. And I'm thinking all these things at the airport. But my kids, my grown-up kids, and my grown-up grandkids are telling me, no way, Pap. You're not getting a Rottweiler because who's going to handle them after you? You know, like they're putting me in the grave already. I said, okay, but I'm going to get a medium-sized dog. And I just was looking at dogs, 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 every spare moment I had. And I found the one I wanted. I wanted a mixed breed cattle dog. Cattle dogs came out of Texas in the 1970s. They're not recognized by the AKC. Preferably, they're called ranch dogs today. But they were to herd cattle and sheep on those miles and miles of Texas ranges. And the Australian Shepherd certainly was smart enough to do it, but he was too big, or she was too big, male or female, to run and run and run on those long ranges. Horses couldn't even do it. So they bred an Australian shepherd with a Doberman and mixed breed, a Labrador, and what we got is a cattle dog that can run 10 miles with a wonderful disposition, loving, friendly dog that likes to be taught and likes to show off. They run like the wind. And I found them while I was looking at Happy Bark in Erie, Pennsylvania. Well, we live close to Pittsburgh, and I'm going to say we're 2 hours, 45 minutes, 3 hours from Erie. And I said, well, how do we get this dog? How do we get this dog? Well, there's an application you fill out. And the more I filled out, the more I started to embrace this Happy Bark organization that was founded by Eric Pollock. So, you know, it's going to be good. The master, right, of saving dogs. So I filled out the application, and then a woman calls me back and says, your application is complete. Now you have to be approved. And when you are approved, a counselor will contact you, and the adoption process will begin. So to be approved, we needed to take pictures of our house on the outside to prove that we had secure yards. And we live in this 105-year-old mansion, so it's 106 years old, excuse me. And it's surrounded by fenced-in yards. And also pictures of the inside to show that the dog wouldn't be, like, you know, compressed, right? This fleet-footed ranch dog that we wanted, because I said in the application, the dog that we wanted and named him and all that, Winston Jacks, using a compound name. And I had all these pictures on my phone already, so was able to complete that at the airport. And we arrive home at, you know, 2:30 in the morning because we lost 3 hours. And all I can think of the whole way was how much fun we had and the money we won and the great times we had. And, you know, our daughter Jill and her husband Jimmy, and we just enjoyed, you know, staying with them. We also stayed at a prompt room in New York, and on the strip, and just to walk out to the park, and we had so much fun, and we enjoyed that so much. But those are all things we'll be talking about. But I want to talk about this dog. So I was contacted the next day by a counselor and say, you're approved. And they would give us a dog that had been neutered, that had been vaccinated, that had been rescued from a kill center in Kentucky, and that he was, for all intents and purposes, a mixed breed cattle dog primarily, right? So we knew about cattle dogs from our studies, and we were ready to go. So we made the trip to Erie, and they want to see how the dog and you will, the adoptees will react with one another. And that dog came out and jumped on us and started kissing us. And he was absolutely beautiful. And we said, this is the dog we're taking home, even if we happen to steal him from you. And they said, no, we can see that you're suited and you passed. And it was a $275 fee, and I kicked in a $25 donation. So for $300, we're driving back down. And of course, wouldn't you know it, we get a driving rainstorm. And so I give the driving to my wife, Janie, whose family owned a bus garage at one time, and she used to drive those buses around a lot, and, you know, she can drive through anything. So I stayed in the back seat of our Pacific Pinnacle van and tried to make good with our dog, right? And he was great. He was, you know, being in a car with total strangers, he was loving. We had to stop for a couple of pee runs for both of us, you know, for him and for us. But we did. We adopted this cattle dog, and he runs like the wind. We were with 30 minutes of hard running a day to keep him happy, 30 minutes of play He loves toys. He loves people. He wants to meet people. I take him everywhere we go. And this all happened because of a delay in a Southwest flight in Harry Reid International Airport. Now, if you live anywhere in Pennsylvania, if you live in Ohio, West Virginia, New York State, anywhere on the East Coast, I want you to go online and look at happybark.org, happybark, B-A-R-K, and look at their dogs. You need a letter of approval from a vet if you already have a dog to show that you are a responsible dog owner. Who does this? They go onto your computer or your phone and go to a corporate store and look at dogs. And you're going to see prices like $2,500, $3,000, $3,400. Just from the financial point alone, and besides the fact that these dogs have been checked over by a veterinarian for health, right? They didn't come in some, they came in the same kind of truck that brought the other dogs. They didn't get driven there, you know, in a Lexus. And they're so overpriced. And you're getting a dog. It could be a puppy. It depends on what you want. They have them all. And so we wanted a dog that was older. We didn't want to go through the puppy stage. We're going through the young adult stage. It's like a teenager, I guess. But that's what we wanted. We didn't want to deal with the puppy stage. And we found a perfect dog for us. And I know you'd find a perfect dog. And those of you that are somewhere else in America, you can fly into Erie and fly your dog back home with you. You know, just do all the paperwork and everything you require beforehand. So I'm going to get you an opportunity here to hear from a great man, a man who's devoted his life to saving dogs from kill centers. We'll be right back.
Founders, like, what motivated you to start the Happy Bark organization?
Yeah, essentially, I'm minded individuals back in 2019. We wanted to do something. And the reason we decided to do something is we were volunteering together at a different rescue. And prior to that, many, many members of our team were at other rescues. I was at two rescues before starting Happy Bark. But essentially, you know, we were learning the processes and doing our best with those processes to save lives, because that's really, really what we're here to do, is spare the lives of dogs that are in overcrowded shelters who might not make it otherwise. And like you've experienced, they're friendly, happy, healthy, great family pets. And it's just a real shame that they might not make it out of some of those shelters alive. And so we were volunteering at a different rescue in our area. And they were kind of getting close to their comfort level of capacity and reach and impact. And we wanted to continue to grow. And they did not have the capacity to do so at that time. And so we decided in late 2019 to start putting pen to paper and start our own rescue. And that's how Happy Bark was born. So even though we're only 6 years old, we haven't been doing this for 6 years. We've been doing it, most of us, for 15 to 20 years. Various places. So you get kind of a contemporary modern approach to dog rescue. The tagline is Dog Rescue Reimagined. So you get the modern approach, the sensibility, a lack of physical paper that you have to meet and sign and mail and, you know, all those kinds of things. It's all kind of online and easy. So we do that. And you also get an all-volunteer organization. So nobody at Happy Bark works at Happy Bark because they need to for a paycheck. Everybody volunteers at Happy Bark because we have a passion for dog rescue. So I feel like that volunteer orientation brings passion through to how we talk to applicants and certainly how we handle and help restore good health.
It certainly does. Do you have your own dog? Because you're dealing with...
We have two. We have a Chihuahua named Beans and a Jack Russell Terrier named Mark.
Oh my goodness! We had a dog that was part Chihuahua. They're tough honchos, man. 5 inches high, but they're not afraid of anything.
Yeah, he's great. He's a loving dog. He turns into a bit of an alligator if you try to trim his nails, though. So we have to actually have our veterinarian help us with that, which is odd because we're pretty good. But yeah. He needs restrained and medicated and all kinds of things. But other than that, he's a very normal, very happy, and very pleasant and loving dog.
And Jack Russell Terriers are There's also
Yeah.
they're tough dogs. I mean, they're don't they
Well,
kill rats?
they were bred originally in England for fox hunting. They can flush foxes out of foxholes, so they're pretty tough. They're also very smart, and so everybody wants a smart dog until they get one, because a highly intelligent dog has a brain that needs to be exercised. And so that's where a lot of folks get in trouble with Jack Russell Terriers, is they are so cute, and as puppies they're the most adorable things ever. But what you're getting is a working dog. They were bred to hunt foxes and flush them out, tight spaces. And so if you have a good exercise plan for them, things work out great. So Marnie, she needs 30 minutes of playing fetch every day with the ball. And we can't even say the word ball in our house. We have to say B-A-L-L. But after that, she's a great, happy, normal, content dog. But when we first get home from work, yeah, she's really rearing to go. It's time to play.
Well, I think part of the issue here for us is like, how do you find volunteers like yourself that are so dedicated? Like, do you advertise, or
Yeah.
how do you get volunteers, or they want to, foster a dog? Do you find a home?
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a particular challenge because, it's a lot of work, and there's a lot of emotional work that's involved. There's no shortage of drama in animal rescue because it's literally life and death. And so we don't advertise in a targeted way to get more volunteers, because it's really easy to, submit a form on a website or text someone and ask for more information. What we do instead is we try to grow organically. So most of our volunteers adopted from us, and they've experienced that happy bark process. They've experienced the services that we offer and how we do things a little differently. And then they start talking to us about, maybe I can foster a dog, or maybe I can be an adoption counselor, or maybe I can run an event for you as a fundraiser. And so we find that that organic growth is what has staying power for folks.
Wow.
Clicking a button because it's a cute dog on the advertisement and you love dogs, dog people are great. But rescue people are different. They're also dog people, but they have a passion for that get up and go, making the sacrifice of time, making the sacrifice emotionally. Sometimes this can be pretty draining. We all help each other out as volunteers though too, so it does feel like a really big support group and family. So that's how we try to, that's how we've grown, is organically through people experiencing us, and we've grown pretty quickly. So
Well, that's the end of the first part of the interview with Eric Pollock, and we'll come back to it in our next podcast. But I just want to remind you that go on that website of happybark.org and examine what you see there, the dogs and their philosophy and et cetera. Maybe you can make a donation. But if you are living in northern Pennsylvania, particularly on the western side of the state, and you want to get involved as a volunteer, I mean, just make that known on their website. You can also donate money, which I am going to do, to Happy Bark. And again, to rescue thousands of dogs, all these rescue dog people have their own dogs for the most part, and it's beyond just loving dogs. I mean, to me, like, they're honoring the creator, the good Lord above. And I think they're remarkable. I really enjoy listening to Eric. We had a little tough time with a storm, maybe interfering with the phone, but I'll definitely make sure you understand exactly what was said there. And the fact that he's giving his Jack Russell a work plan, that's so important with our cattle dog Winston Jacks. He has an hour a day. I start with a walk, then he has the ball fetch, and we finish with another half hour of just play with his toys and kind of let him come back to normal with his breathing. But he's in tremendous shape, and that takes care of the mental thing, because they're herders and they want to herd and they want to organize it. That's how he finishes the playtime, by putting his toys in order and throwing them all together, like he's hurting them. He's probably going to be hurting Jane and Coach Vapp at one point too. So I know it took a lot of time in a gaming hunt, but this is so important. Happy Bark is exceptional. It's wonderful. And if you love dogs, I want you to get involved and at least take a look at their website, happybark.org, Erie, Pennsylvania. Well, Janie's feature is up next, and it's going to be based on her experience on the last day we spent in Vegas. She'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. Glad to be back, but oh, what a great trip we did have. And as the coach said, we spent our last hours there at the airport. And he always puts at least $20 in just to see. You know, they do have machines all through the gate areas. And I never do, because I've always followed the saying that, oh, you should never play at the airport. Those machines are too tight. Don't play there. Yet we know people who have won large sums of money, over a couple hundred thousand. I've read a lot about them and have mentioned them on the air a lot of times, of people hitting at the airport. So for some reason this time we had like an extra hour. Instead of the usual 2 hours, we had about three.
Well, Southwest delayed our flight too.
Oh, well, yeah. Southwest did delay. That's right. I forgot. They did, which is not unusual for them to delay the flights. We've been delayed up to 7 hours sitting there.
I talked almost through the whole podcast about that's why we found our cattle dog.
Well, that's true. Yes. Okay. Well, anyhow, I usually walk around the airport and shop, or just look at the shops, you know, go through all of them. I don't sit idly there usually. But anyway, I decided that I didn't want to shop anymore. And I decided to go play at the casino because I had had good luck through the week. I hadn't mentioned, you know, I don't know what all Fav had mentioned, but I did hit on several machines at several different casinos. We went to so many. And so I had some money and I thought, I'm going to just try it. So they had a Frankenstein machine there, which I had not played before. I've seen people play it. I've watched them play it, but I have never played it. So I took a chance. I sat down. There were even double seats, so I'm real comfortable. We're at gate C6, I believe, and the whole gate's there watching all the machine action. So I sit down and I play the minimum. You know me, I like to play the minimum, try to win the most, which was 80 cents. So I'm on the third spin, I hit. And I thought, it was so much fun. It was so noisy. This machine has all kind of sounds and effects on it. I mean, lights going off and on and buzzers. And it was just fun. And, you know, I won like $85. But, you know, that's more than I've won at a lot of casinos. Yeah. You know, $2.40 total. So that was fun. So I think, and I was going to play more. I thought, well, this is really good, but I'm just probably too tight to do that or risk it. But Ethel M had their candy store right there too. And if you go in, they will give you a sample. Their chocolate's delicious. And of course, then I buy a couple little packages of what they have there, but they're more than happy to give you samples of whatever you'd like to try.
For
so
people that don't know, how did you get your money from the slot machine?
Oh, well, yeah, let me tell you, they do have slot attendants that walk around, and then they have a desk there where there's an attendant there. They're very helpful. They pay right away. There's no issue there. And I said to them, gee, you know, I surprised I hit like this. And they said, oh, so many people say that here. They really don't expect to win. So I'm just, you know, just a little word that you can hit. So it was nice to have that extra money when I was leaving. So I just thought I'd drop that in there as far as, you know, it's don't follow that as far as never playing there. Now, probably if you want to keep your money, it's a good idea not to play when you first get there because you have all those casinos that you may be visiting.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, but I was on the way home, so it seemed a much safer bet to me. I had a certain amount of money. I knew how much I had that I was willing to play with. Okay.
We're going to go to part two next podcast, and we'll be discussing specifically the 9 casinos that we gambled over those 15 days. And remember, we won on 14 of 15 days. And so when someone says you can't go to Vegas and win, we did it for more than 2 weeks. It's a fantastic experience. And we'll also be doing some kidding around about where we stayed and our 5-star accommodations, and we'll talk about our comps at New York, and also at the M Resort. We have different views of South Point this time. I did very well there, but Janie didn't. And so, you know, she always holds a crutch.
Well, I was able to take advantage of their $1.50 hot dog. I mean, people stand in line for a long time for those hot dogs. That's one of the best deals going. They're very good. They have a cart there. They're made in the kitchen elsewhere and then brought to the cart.
It's 6 o'clock.
Okay, 6 o'clock means it's time for us to stop. So remember, Casinos USA is still a place where
every day is Saturday.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks, part two. Every day is Saturday at Casinos USA.